Today I'd like to begin a series with our teaching team, and the series is entitled, Behold, I Do a New Thing. And I want to welcome those that are joining us online. This broadcast literally goes all around the world, as you would imagine, with the technology of today, and I want to greet and welcome those that are joining us online. Today's sermon title in the series is Opening to God's New Thing. Opening to God's New Thing. My motivation today is pretty simple. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to inspire each one of us to embrace something new that God wants to do in our lives. Can hear an amen to that? I'm asking the Holy Spirit today to breathe something in us, give us some revelation, give us a new sense of purpose and direction for our lives, to motivate us to have a new perspective, a new interest in the things of God this fall. I'm asking that we would partner with the Holy Spirit like we've never partnered with Him before. Can you hear an amen to that? The Bible says, since we live by the Spirit, let's stay in step with the Spirit. How many today want to stay in step with the Spirit? I don't want to be out of sync with what God has for my life. Now here you go. Somebody might argue that God has a plan for your life that is immutable and you really can't know how it's going to work out till it's all over. That's one way to see it. Another way to see it is that God is active, present, and continual relationship with us, leading us in our life down preferable pathways. There are different scenarios for our lives that are better than other scenarios, although God can get glory in all of them. But for us to maximize our life, we must be open to God's change of direction. Carry him into that. New relationships, new commitments. We have to be open to the new things of God in our life. For some of you in the room, you're entering a new season. Don't be afraid. It's going to be good. Some of you are receiving a new anointing. Maybe it's an anointing for healing, an anointing for evangelism, an anointing for service. Maybe somebody today is right on the verge of enjoying a new mercy, a new grace from God. Anybody here need new mercy? Oh, man, you can't get enough mercy. Opening to a new thing of God. I don't think there's anything worse than a boring Christian. How can you be a boring Christian when you're a new creature in Christ, in a new covenant, destined for a new heavens and a new earth, and we just kind of walk around like we're stuck. Anybody today besides me want to just get out of any stuckness that's left in your life? Let's just get it out and let's get into what God has for us as a people and as individual families. Isaiah chapter 43 is our text today. If you have your Bibles open there. Israel is in Babylon. They're in captivity. They're disillusioned. They have failed God. That's why they're in captivity. They're not sure that God's promises will come to pass. It's a difficult time. And here comes the prophet, not with a word of condemnation, but a word of real hope. Isaiah 43, verse 18 says, remember not. Here, listen to this, Deep Creek. Remember not the former things, nor get fixated on the old stuff. Behold, I am doing a new thing, present tense. Not I will do, but I am doing a new thing. Say amen to that. I am doing a new thing. We're going to talk about that today. What in the world does that mean? He's doing a new thing. It's not a new gospel, but it's a new application to the gospel. It's a new ministries. It's new opportunities. It's new breakthroughs, new deliverances, fresh revelation. I will make a way, now it springs forth, verse 19. Will you not perceive it? Will you not be aware that God's doing something new in your life? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Don't you love the declarative, I will make a way? Oh, praise God, I don't have to make the way. God will make the way. I just need to stay in step with the Spirit, obey God. There'll be some good days and some bad days, but I know where this road ends. This road ends with a fulfilled destiny. Verse 20, the wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert to drink to my chosen people. Verse 21, the people whom I formed for myself, that they may declare my praise. The Lord saying, I'm doing a new thing in your life so that you will declare my praise. I'm doing a new thing in your life so that you have an upgraded testimony. Now listen, saints, if you're getting a little older, that's most of you. I said this many times before, this bears repeating though. Our best testimony can't be from when we were first saved. Oh yeah, when I was first saved, man, I tell you, I met my wife at a coffee shop, and we started this church, and we did this ministry. Oh, we took this big step of faith, and you know, God's healing and deliver. Oh, we had some setbacks, and man, we were in this new fellow, and then the last 15 years, what God's doing. Well, I've been pretty comfortable doing the same old. I've got no new chapters in my book. Hey, who wants a new chapter in your testimony book? How about your best testimonies now? You know, why do we think they always got to be the old ones? How about some brand spanking? How about somebody in the parking lot gets healed today? Put that in the appendix of your book. Time to upgrade those testimonies. It says here, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now, the Old Testament, of course, is written in Hebrew for the most part. Let me just take a minute to talk about the word new. What does the word new mean? Well, the Old Testament, written in Hebrew, is translated into Greek, which is called the Septuagint. And there are two words in the Septuagint for the word new. There's the word naos, like our youth ministry. Naos means new in time. New in time. Has to do with chronology. And then there's another word for new, is the word kainos. It's a derivative of the word. But that doesn't mean new in time as much as it means it's new in its substance. It's a new thing. It's got a new quality. It's got a new nature. There's a discontinuity with what was before. The other one, it's the same kind of thing. It's just a newer version. This one, it's a brand new thing. Y'all with me on that? And it says, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm not just going to warm up the old thing, update the old thing, give you a more modern version. I'm going to do something that's going to have a point of discontinuity with what your expectations have been up to this point. Well, the question is, do you want that? I mean, do we really want God messing with our life? I mean, serious. We will say it. We will say it. But I won't move. I won't change job. I won't start a new ministry. I won't serve in a new area in the church. But God, do a new thing in my life. Oh, if we're going to be all in on the new thing, we got to let God decide what the new thing is, and we just got to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Kainos. Something fresh. Anybody here need a fresh word from God? Now that's so Pentecostal. That's so, I love it though. It, you know, the idea is bread. It comes from fresh manna. We need a fresh word from God. How long can you live on a word from God? A long time. The devil can take anything away from you. He could take your health, maybe. He could take your prosperity. He might even take your family, but the devil can never take away your revelation. Because once the light bulb goes on and you know that Jesus is your Savior, he can't have it. And once you know that Jesus is your healer, he can't have it. And once you know that heaven is promised for you and it's guaranteed and it's a revelation, he can't have it. He can take anything but revelation. And when we get fresh manna is what gives us the courage, the stamina, the fortitude to go through difficult days. A fresh mercy, a fresh word. Now, what I'm not saying today is we make an idol out of the novel. We're not some kind of a charismatic with our head cut off, chasing every novel thing like they did at Athens. We're not like that. We have historical, biblical truth that we contextualize and allow the Holy Spirit to breathe new forms, new expressions today. Can you hear an amen to that? What keeps an old person young? Seriously, I want to know. I mean, I've really been thinking about this. For Christians, I can't describe it entirely, but I do know some qualities. You take a 65-year-old girl, woman who's walked with God, and you take two of them, and one of them seems young, and the other one seems dour. Almost always, the young one is experiencing new things. And it's true for Christians. There's nothing quite as attractive as an older saint that's still getting excited about new things from the Word of God. Like, hey, look, I just read this. I'm 80 years old. I just got this revelation about the temple of God. It keeps you young. Old folks that are moving and healing, and they're trying new things, and they're stepping out for God. And, you know, my son was a missionary. Jonathan was a missionary in Tanzania. And there was a... Well, he was there. He met a man named Mr. Krause, who's a principal of a school. He retired at 65. You know what he did at 65? He moved to Tanzania and started a Christian school and was a headmaster for 20 years. Well, the other dudes are out golfing and kicking back a six, and this guy, he started a Christian school. Now, you might say, Dan, are you saying I have to do something crazy? I'm not saying you got to do that exact thing. But the attitude of, as long as I got breath in my body, bring it on. I'm open to the new thing. It keeps you young. It keeps you. That's why I like new songs. I do like old songs. I do like old songs, but I like new songs. I like new vision. A church that is boring and stuck in its old ways is an embarrassment to God. It just is. Hey, listen, we're Pentecostals. I know that might frighten you. Since when do Pentecostals know exactly what's going to happen all the time? We're Pentecostals. We're always a little bit like, whoa, what's going to happen now? The Holy Spirit, now we're not nuts. There's order, but we have an expectation of an encounter with God. I can't predict when he speaks, but I want him to speak. The fresh things of God. Come on. Listen, your next big thing in God may simply start raising your hands in worship. Break out of the sway anointing. Oh, I'm really getting it on today. Come on. Do a new thing for God. Ancient church fathers had a word called acidia, which the Desert Fathers coined. Well, it's not, they didn't really coin it. They used it from Greek, and it means a spiritual apathy, a listlessness, a passivity. And of all the vices, you know, you got gluttony and avarice stealing and all those other bad ones. The church fathers say avarice is the most dangerous, and that an avarice is spiritual apathy, which means I'm not advancing, but I'm not going back. There's nothing new, but I am not doing anything bad. It means that my devotions are okay, but they're not really good. And I'm going through the motions, but there really isn't. And it's this apathy, and it gets to be like you're kind of going through sludge. And the Lord says, listen, I've got a new thing for you to break you out of that. Will you perceive it? Will you do it? Here's the thing about counseling, Pastor Melvin. I've done lots of counseling. Very few people do what you advise them to do. Like they're having marital problems. You go, pray together. Okay, got it. They come back. They don't pray together. They just expect it to drop out of the sky. Like talking about it solves it. Right? You got high blood pressure. Lose some weight. Did you lose any weight? No, but God, well, don't, what? Do something about that. You know, we have this idea that God just drops these things rather than cooperating with the new thing, the new direction, the new obedience, the new steps he wants you to take to get to your destiny. You say, well, Dan, do you mean it's up to me? No, it's not up to you. But you got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He's called the helper. And if your coach is coaching and you just won't do it. I got all kinds of stories that are just gonna get, no, boy, it'll get me fired from this church faster than you know. Six phrases in our text. Isaiah says, remember not the former things. Remember not the former things. Now, what he's saying is that the former things aren't bad. He's saying, do not get stuck in a kind of expectation of what God has done before. How could I say that another way? It's like, the deliverance may come different this time. The opportunity may come different this time. The gift may be wrapped in a way that you don't recognize it. I've had lots of healings. I've been battling cancer 19 years. I'm currently in another level of battling it. And I've had creative miracles that God did stuff completely unexpected. The trajectory, the continuity of my life was interrupted by divine intervention. Then I've had providential miracles where God has used doctors in remarkable ways to enhance and speed up my healing. Both of them have been a blessing. Both of them have led to healing. And I can never predict how God's going to touch me. All I can say is, Lord, do a new thing in my body. Just do a new thing. Do a new thing. If it's doctoring, great. If it's supernatural stuff, great. If it's a healing line, great. The only thing I won't do is blueberries. I'm tired of everything being blueberries. Seriously, you see it? Blueberries is the answer to everything. Are you dying? Try blueberries. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. God's doing a fresh thing. He's not doing a silly thing. He's doing a new thing. The church needs new things. I'll say it again. A boring church is an insult to God. And us coming to church without any expectation is an insult. Like, I'm just going to slip in 5 minutes late in a semi-dark church. Not sit too close to anybody. Settle down. Take a look at my phone in a way that nobody else can see. I'm doing a little screen time. Here we go. Yeah, I need a card. Thank you. Slip out the door before I... What's that? What is that? I mean, hey, that's not a church service. The presence of the living God is here, and he wants to do a new thing. Who's going to get saved today? Who's going to get healed today? Who's going to get delivered today? What marriage is going to... Hey, I got some friends of mine. I know, John, you probably know this testimony. Some friends of ours that they were in a tough marriage problem. Tough. I'm going to tell you exactly what they told me. They went to Toronto 25 years ago, the Toronto Revival. They get laid out on the carpet. I'm not a big carpet guy. I'll go down if it's appropriate, but I'm not going to take a courtesy drop for anybody. Don't push me. No. I'll go if it's time to go. But they fell on the carpet. Presence of God. They ended up underneath some chairs, as I understand the story. And then they're two for a couple of hours in his presence, healed their marriage. You might say, that's really freaky. You're not God. How dare you say that healing is inauthentic because it did not happen the way you would have prescribed it to happen. Now, God can do it in a minute. God can do it in years of counseling. It's up to him. But if I'm open to him, if I'm open, the portal of heaven can open up at any moment. And the Shekinah glory can touch me. And he can change me. I don't need any more information. I need just transformation. Man, I need encounter. I need the new thing. Now it springs forth, verse 19. The word springs forth is the idea of a plant. It starts as a root, a shoot, a stem. Oh, and God starts doing a new thing. Nothing can hold it, really. You ever seen a plant get underneath your concrete? You poison that sucker, you pull that sucker, and it's going to come up out of that concrete over time. And in 50 years, you've got a full-blown tree in the middle of your driveway. Why? Because it's springing forth. Right now, if you believe it, God is doing something right now behind the scenes of your life you will not see, but you can abort it if you get out of faith and walking with God. If you start complaining and griping and moaning and just get in a rut, you're going to miss the best that God has. It's better just to stay attentive. I played sports. I know, Danny, you played lots of sports, and there's an athletic position that looks something like this. Linebackers are like this. Your shortstops are like that. Your defense and basketball is like that. You're on your toes. I mean, you're just ready to go. See how fast I'm moving? That's what we need to be in God. Deploy me. I'm ready. I'm listening. What am I supposed to pray? So you're just reading the Bible and a verse pops out at you and it's a fresh revelation and you go right into intercession. Why? Because I'm agile. I'm listening. I'm ready to go. And somebody say, man, you're living a weird life. And I'm going, you're living beneath your inheritance. Come on. You've got the abnormal so common, looks like the normal. Your divine encounters are so far in between, you think that they're special. Your divine encounters are supposed to be happening all the time. Will you not perceive it? Verse 19. Will you not perceive it? Change your focus. Get your head up. I was raised on a farm. And on the farm, if you walk around looking at your feet, all kinds of hell breaks loose. You leave gates open, granary doors, cows get out. And I always, as a kid, walked looking at my feet like this. My dad would say, Dan, get your head up. We're loading a truck full of cows, and we had a chute. I'm loading up in our truck, and there's a crossbar at about 5 foot. Cross the chute. Who in God's name will put a crossbar at 5 feet? I don't know. But I'm chasing the cows up there, looking at my feet, going full tilt, and I pow, I hit that across my head, knocked myself out, broke my nose. It's very traumatic. I'm still getting inner healing. I was about 15 years old, but I stopped looking at my feet. Stop looking at your feet. Stop it. Get your head up. Forget what lies behind. Look ahead. Get some vision. Move forward. You say, well, I'm getting kind of old. Well, tough. You're getting kind of old. Arlie Nittmeyer, 84 years old, walked 2 miles to prayer for 5 years. Arlie Nittmeyer. Who's the other old guy from Brazil? You know him. His son was a producer for 700 Club. Honey, remember? Well, let's call him Mr. Smith. Old guy in our church. I was with him when he died. He's in hospice care in the front room of his home. Old saint. And this is his wife walks in, and he says to her husband, honey, do you want a sandwich? He's dying. I mean, he's like right on the edge. He says, hey, honey, you want a sandwich? And he goes, no, I don't want a sandwich. And so she goes and makes a sandwich for herself. And he says, Dan, can I sing a song with you? And I said, yeah. So he lifts his hands and he sings a hymn. And he dies. I thought, that's how I want to live my life. I don't want to live my life wondering, is my 403B going to last? Is Social Security going to be there when I'm old? Will I have enough time to play golf? I like golf. I like that stuff. But we're not on the planet for that. Listen, if you're a born-again believer, you got an assignment from God. And we all play. We all play. There's a new thing for everybody, and nobody need be disqualified. What keeps us from embracing this new thing? There's the trap of nostalgia. And listen to me. You talk about how things used to be in your previous church, your previous ministry, or when you were in Bible school, when you got married. It wasn't that good. It's just that's how the mind works. You know, oh yeah, we used to pray all night back in the day. Well, no, you didn't really, maybe a little bit. And what happens is you begin to kind of worship the brazen serpent. You kind of, you have this nostalgia that just takes away the expectation of new things for the future. There's the trap of control. Listen, if you're going to walk with God and what I'm advising you today, you got to be all in with God. And you got to give up some control. This does not count. Lord, I'll do anything. And then God asks you to do something, you say, accept that. No, I mean, you're either all in. He's either the Lord of all or he's not the Lord of all. He's either all in or not all in with him. There's the trap of fear. What's, you know, if I'm all in with God, he does a new thing, maybe it's not going to work out. Maybe I'm going to look stupid. Maybe I'm going to fail. All right, listen to me. Would you rather fail trying something for God than being a wild success but didn't take any faith? Wouldn't it be better to swing for the fence and maybe strike out sometimes than just to be conservative and just get the singles? I think so. And fear keeps us from doing the new thing for God. How do you break out of a rut, this ascidia? We're going to talk about that in the next few weeks. But one of the ways that you break out of it is by revelation. When there's a fresh word that comes, as I mentioned a moment ago. I was going through something the other day. My son Matthew, who often sends me a scripture. How many of you have adult children? Isn't it great when your adult children send you a scripture or a word or we're praying for you or at least an emoji that looks smiley? You know the scripture in Colossians that says that Jesus holds everything together by the power of his word. In his devotion, he says, Dad, Jesus holds everything together. Holds your family, holds the church, holds your health. He's holding your life together. Not like he's holding the universe together, but he's holding all of your responsibilities. He's holding it together. I go, man, I needed that word. That fresh word was a new thing. Will you give God permission today to interrupt your life? I mean, I'm serious. Can you open up to the possibilities of new kinds of ministry? Nobody ever hears this from God. We need men serving in the nursery. You hear this. We need somebody to lead the men's ministry. You hear that one. But are you willing to say, Lord, whatever new thing you have for me, I just want to be in that position of response to say yes to the Holy Spirit, which secures my preferable future. I will make a way, verse 19. I'm not making the way. The Lord's making a way for me. Does anybody today here need some new relationships? God's making a way. Would you stop spending the time on relationships that are not going to go anywhere? Just drain you and hurt you and abuse you, and you're so codependent. You think that if there's conflict between you and them, that something's inherently wrong with you. Kick it to the curb and move on. Sometimes it's time for some new relationships. Sometimes it's time for some new ministries. It's time for some new upgrade. Come on, man. Upgrade your spiritual life. Go to a conference. Get some new worship music. Do something. Well, the Lord will make a way. How about new power? Melvin, do we need new power and new life? Oh, Lord, please, Lord, in our day, revive us. We need new power, delivering power, healing power, salvation power. Oh, we need the power of God to fall. And I don't mean work it up and prance around the platform and shout it down. We don't shout it down. We just believe it. I'm not into antics. I'm not into sensationalism. I'm into the real deal. And if we open ourselves up to God and say, Lord, here I am. I am available. Use me as you choose, and I'm all in. God can do a new thing. I have formed a people, verse 21, who will declare my praise. Here's the beautiful end of this portion of scripture. The Lord says, I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to do something supernatural for you. I'm going to do some deliverance for you. And the result's going to be, you're going to sing praise like you've never sang it before. You're going to have something to sing about. The Bible says, he who is forgiven much loves much. The person who's experience the new thing of God, the delivering power of God, the healing power of God. We worship like other people don't. It's true. I was saved at age 18 in a Bible study. I don't share my, you know, I think there's an advantage to getting saved as an adult. In some ways, I mean, as a child, it's nice. But when you're saved as an adult, you can remember the BC days a little bit. And you just remember how terrible they were. Because if they were good, you would have never left them. So when I remember my BC days, I'm going, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I never want to go back to that. The depression, the angst, the sin, the confusion. And then one day in the fall of 1975, I met a Savior who made me a new person, new creation. I came into a new covenant. There was kainos. There was something new that had never been on the planet before. I'm a new creation. And I get born from above. I get born again. It's like the light bulb went on. And I come into a whole new sense of possibility and kingdom. And I'm just, my mind is boggling. So I get in my Firebird. I have a 68 Firebird. I drive downtown in our little town of 3,000 people. Got two stop signs in our town, two stoplights. And at the first stoplight, I'm in my Firebird. I just got saved 1 hour ago. I rolled down the window of my car, and I share with one of my friends, his name with that was Duke Collins. I said, "Duke, I just got saved, man. I want you to come over to the Bible study." And Duke looked at me and just rolled up his window, thinking I'm a nut. So I drive to the next stoplight. It's a true story. Drive to the next stoplight, I roll down my window, and there's Steve Satterfield, another high school friend of mine. I said, "Steve, I just got saved." I said, I just got to tell you what happened to me, man. I don't know what the heck happened to me. I probably threw in a few curse words. It took a while to clean that up. And Steve went with me that very night, and he got saved himself, and he served the Lord with me for, you know, where did that boldness come from? God did a new thing in me. He took out the heart of stone and the heart of sin, and he put in a heart of flesh, and I was a new creature, born in a second with a new destiny and a new potential for my life. Now, what am I supposed to do now at 66? Go, "Oh, those are the good old days." Get a grip, Dano. Lieutenant Dan, get a grip. The Lord says to us today as we close this out, He wants to do a new thing in you. Will you receive it? Will you perceive it? Will you be like the sons of Issachar? Will you be aware of it? Will you have your antennas up? Can you sense? I'm not talking about just big things like changing jobs. I'm talking about just things about like what God speaks to your heart about who you are and parenting and ministry and self-esteem. I'm talking about a lot of hidden stuff He wants to do that are new things. The Lord has a fresh assignment for many of us here. The Lord says nobody's disqualified. Everybody can have the new thing. There's enough resources for everybody. You may feel disqualified, exiled, guilty. He's going to do it, not you. You might say, "Well, Dan, what do I got to do? What do you got to do?" Lord, I just receive it. I can't make it up. I don't want to pretend. I know You're a good God. I know You do above and beyond all I can ask or think. Do the new thing in me, God, that results in Your praise and results in Your glory. You do that every day. You do that every day, you're going to have an adventure like no man's business. And if you're stuck, you'll get unstuck in a heartbeat. Let's stand to our feet today.